Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Continuing a relationship that first started 3 years ago, Melissa Etheridge will perform again with the Boston Pops this Sunday at 2:30 in the final concert of the summer at Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts. The Grammy and Oscar winner is a regular presence in our region. She's released 14 studio albums and sold millions of records. And it's my pleasure to welcome Melissa Etheridge back to the Roundtable. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why do you like to play with the Pops?
Oh, they were the first orchestra I ever played with, and I have a real affinity to them because their whole purpose is to take the popular music and put it in orchestral form, and they're used to that relationship, so it's really comfortable playing with them, and I really enjoy the whole experience.
My understanding is when a performer does a show like this, rehearsal time is very much at a premium. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, you've got, you know, dozens and dozens of people rehearsing with you. So it's important to, you know, to do it right and take advantage right away.
So how will you decide what you want to play? And I have to imagine, you know, the arrangements of your songs, that will have to change for this show, too.
Yes. Well, fortunately, because I've played with them before and I've played with other orchestras, I have the arrangements and they're all there, and that makes it really easy to sort of slip in. So we're doing this show. I'm doing, you know, my popular songs, the ones you know and love and want to sing along with, and it's just going to be a great experience hearing them fully orchestrated.
Well, the last time I saw you was on the This Is Me tour. It was you and your guitar and a cell phone late in the show.
Yes.
Do you approach it differently when you are up there with a couple dozen musicians?
Oh, yeah. It's a complete different experience. It's for one, when I'm performing by myself, I just have to look out for myself, and that's all. And if I make a mistake, I can kind of come back around, and I've got, you know, no one's going to fall over. If I make a mistake with 60 people behind me, you know, that's going to be noticeable. that's a whole other situation. So, it's about being on my toes. It's about, you know, watching Keith Lockhart and really, you know, making sure it's done right and just giving the best performance I can.
You've played in bands, you've played solo, you've played in, you know, small combos. Obviously, this show is much bigger. Do you have a favorite?
You know, I don't. One of the reasons I've done so many different things is because I like to you know, break it up. Even you know, if I said, oh, playing solo is my favorite, but if I, you know, do that for 3 months, then I'm so ready to play with a band. So, fortunately, I'm able to mix it up and do these different things and keep it fresh and exciting for me and for my audience.
Now, you went to the Berklee School of Music. Were you a Pops fan while you were in Boston?
Well, I didn't have enough money to go see them, but I did know about them and, you know, always loved, you know, they were a big presence in Boston. And so, the, you know, whenever I get to play, it's like, oh my God, it means a lot to me because, you know, my childhood, my young adult self comes through and says, look, you were actually playing with, you couldn't afford to go see him, and now you're actually playing with him.
What was your life like when you were a student in Boston?
I ate a lot of bad food, and, you know, I was just getting to know myself. I'd come from Kansas, and Boston was the first, you know, city I had lived in, and it's such a great city to be the first city to, you know, be a country girl and come into. It was so, so inviting and so beautiful that, you know, I hold great, great memories about it.
So what were some of the musical things that you learned at Berklee that you carried with you?
Oh, Lord. The first thing I learned, because I was a big fish in a little pond in Leavenworth, Kansas, and I was the talented Missy Etheridge. Everybody knew me. And I went to Boston, and there were people 10 times more talented than me playing down, you know, practicing down the hall. And I quickly learned that, oh, wow, there are other great musicians with a great dream. and that I needed to be unique. I needed to concentrate on my own talent and really, refine it, because there is so much talent in the world. And through Berkeley, I only went for like not even quite a whole year, but I learned how to communicate with other musicians. I learned the basics of music and music composition and how to communicate with other musicians.
Why did you leave?
Life, it was 1979. In 1980, it just went to 1980. And there weren't very many women in the school at the time. I felt a little not seen, but that's my own, perception. And I started to, I started to play at a restaurant at a Ken's by George, which was across from Copley Square and the John Hancock. I started making money. I started working 5 nights a week and, started writing my own stuff. And so it was just my path just led away from there.
Were you always determined to make a career in music? I mean, how early did that start?
Oh, that was my first desire, my first thought. I've never wanted to be anything else. So it's a good thing. Good things that happened, because that's all I ever wanted to be.
You know, the political scene right now is crazy, and you've never really shied away from that. You've done songs like Miss California and Pulse and things like that. So what are you thinking about, right now as an artist?
I'm thinking about inspiring people. I think that is what we need. I think it proves that it does not work to be against anyone, and it's harder to draw the lines of who's for and against and what they're for or against. So I believe that this whole time that we're in now is about understanding the other and making space for the other, and that whatever the other gets does not mean something is taken away from me. And that's sort of the beliefs that are being fanned right now, is that there's not enough, and so if anyone else gets it, you lose something. And I would like to inspire people to understand that life is there for us to create and make, and no one can take that from you.
Are you optimistic?
I am always optimistic, yes. I am now almost 13 years cancer-free, and when you go through cancer and you look at life head-on and death head-on, and you say, oh, there's more to this than fear, that the more optimism and love I see, the more optimism and love I experience. So, yes, I'm very optimistic.
How did that experience change your outlook?
It changed everything about me. It changed everything. It changed my idea of what life is, changed my idea about death, changed my idea about my children, about hope and everything. It just changed everything.
Are you working on a new album now?
Yes, I am. Yeah, the songs will be about myself and our times and what we're in. They'll be very, very, very intense yet uplifting. I believe that's the whole point about the album, yeah.
Where did you record it?
I'm recording it as we speak. I'm recording it down in Nashville right now.
Also, getting ready to speak with you, I was looking at your tour dates coming up, and you'll be going to some far-off places, including Anchorage, Alaska.
I have never played Alaska. I'm so excited to finally get up there. I can't tell you how many they finally gave up on me. They're like, when are you coming to Alaska? But Alaska's not on its way anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So we had to make, we had to make just the plan. We're going up to Alaska, and we're finally going to do it.
Wow, so you've got people who have been waiting 30 years.
30 years, yes, yes, sir.
Wow. Well, before that, Melissa Etheridge will be at Tanglewood in Lenox on Sunday at 2:30 with the Boston Pops. We're so excited to have you back in town, and safe travels from there.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.